It's just about 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. Good morning. Well, in a new effort to crack down on illegal immigrants, federal authorities are expected to announce tough rules this week that would require employers to fire workers who use false Social Security numbers. The approach is expected to play well with conservatives who've long demanded that the administration do more to enforce existing immigration laws, but it could also lead to renewed pressure from businesses on Congress to provide legal status for an estimated 6 million unauthorized immigrant workers. The experts said that the new rules represented a major tightening of the immigration enforcement system, in which employers for decades have paid little attention to notices such as, no match letters from the Social Security Administration advising that workers' names and numbers did not match the agency's records. Illegal workers often provide employers with false Social Security numbers in order to qualify for a job. This coming in the wake of the failure of the 109th Congress to pass an immigration bill. President Bush supported what is being called an amnesty. Supporters didn't call it that, but opponents did, and they won the day. For illegal workers, giving them a chance to stay in the country and continue working. This is a controversial issue, and there's been a lot of discussion on it on these airwaves, and we're going to continue talking about it today. My guest this hour is Susan Tully, National Field Director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, an organization also known as FAIR. She joins me by telephone. Good morning. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you.
Now, your organization is one that would support this crackdown on employers who hire illegal immigrants.
Absolutely.
Why do you support that?
Well, first of all, it's illegal to employ illegal aliens, and if you wanted to say what is the single largest reason we have illegal immigration in the United States today, you can squarely place that blame on the back of United States employers who want cheap labor. If they couldn't get jobs, they wouldn't come.
And the employers say, well, we can't afford to pay those kinds of wages. What are we supposed to do?
Well, I think it's really interesting that you get that kind of comment out of employers, because the truth is Americans have always done the jobs that are now being done by illegal aliens. Americans always worked in the hotel and restaurant industry. Americans have always worked in these meatpacking plants we have in Wisconsin and Minnesota that have been around for 100 years. They used to be jobs. In 1985 in Austin, Minnesota, the Hormel plant was solely staffed by American workers who were working at union wage, about $18 an hour. They had benefits. They had some retirement. They actually had a chance to gain their piece of the American dream. And in came the illegal aliens in the mid-'80s and late-'80s, and they busted the unions because they were willing to work for less money. And those same jobs that in 1985 paid $18 an hour are currently paying $10 and $12 to illegal aliens. Now, you know that the meat prices and the prices of all our products across the country have never gone down. It simply means that the employers who are enjoying the benefit of illegal labor are getting better profits. Illegal aliens don't come into the United States any longer simply to work and then go home. They come in and they bring their families, and when they do that, you and I here in Wisconsin have to pay $10,000 per year for every child that they enroll in our school system. Because they make poor wages, they have to avail themselves to whatever social services they can, and in many cases, if they have a child, they're then an American citizen, and that child is entitled to cash benefits every month for 19 years, the first 19 years of their life, Medicaid for the first 19 years of their life, in many cases, housing assistance, energy assistance, and you and I get to pick up the tab for that very expensive venture while the employer gets cheap labor.
What about the argument that many of these workers are what we have called migrant farm workers? They come in, there's a specific crop, they come in, they go from town to town and pick one thing in one place and one thing in another, and then they leave when the season is done.
Well, migrant workers are a completely different story. We have migrant programs. They come in here legally. They often come by themselves. They do go back home. That's a whole different animal than what we're talking about with what ICE and this operation is doing now. These are people who have stolen identities. These are people who are working under assumed names and Social Security numbers and are not here legally.
Now, there are laws on the books that make it illegal to hire someone who is not a citizen of the United States or who doesn't have a work permit. I mean, if you or I go into somebody and ask for a job, or we fill out an application, when they decide to hire us, we have to present documentation that shows that we're a citizen. We have to have a Social Security number or card. There's some other things that we have to produce that identify us as citizens of the United States, people who have a right to work here. And so there are laws on the books, but apparently they're not being enforced.
Well, that's exactly right. These laws, this is nothing new. This is the laws that were put in place today that ICE has finally decided to enforce were put there in 1986 as part of that amnesty proposal. They said, look, America, let us grant amnesty to these, what they thought at the time was 2 million, turned out to be 4 million people. And we promise that we'll start doing employer sanctions and employer verification, and we'll go after these guys that are hiring them. And that's when those laws were put in place, and they actually did enforce them for the first couple of years. They were very successful when they did enforce them, and, of course, the businesses started complaining, so they backed off. That's why we are where we are today. And I heard your numbers at the beginning of the broadcast of about 6 million illegal aliens. That's a very I can tell you that's not the number. The number is somewhere between 12 and 20 million people who are here illegally. That's huge.
Where are all these people coming from?
All over the world. Primarily from Latin America. They would make up probably 80 to 85% of the illegal population who are actually coming into the country. About 40% of the illegal aliens in this country are people who actually came here legally on a visa or some sort of a student visa or a work visa, but then they never went home when it was time for them to go home.
We're talking about the issue of immigration this hour, and you can join our discussion. We have some telephone lines available for you. Let me give you the numbers, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number, good anywhere you can hear this broadcast. If you're in Madison, we'd rather that you used 263-1890, 263-1890. You will save us some money. And you can also send us an email. Send your email to talk@wpr.org. My guest this hour is Susan Tully, National Field Director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, known as FAIR. Well, let me ask you to do some political speculating here. The announcement came this week from Homeland Security that they were going to start cracking down on employers who hire people who are in the country illegally. Do you think that this could be a strategy by the Bush administration to activate the business community to pressure Congress to pass some law that will provide them what they want?
Well, it could, but you have to also look at the fact that, and that would work. Business has more of Congress's ear than the American people, and so it could put some pressure on it. On the other hand, I have to tell you that most of the people who hire illegal aliens hire them because they are illegal, and they don't have to pay, you know, many of them are paid cash under the table. They don't have to pay for workers' comp. They don't have to pay the employer portion of the 7.5% for Social Security. And so when they can run them through as contract workers and they're illegal aliens, they're more than happy to do that. So while there's some people who speculate that the business would like to make them all legal, I would like to put out there the fact that business likes to continue to have a flow of illegal aliens. And that's why this backwards approach of granting amnesty before we've secured the borders doesn't work. If you waved the magic wand today and made the 12 to 20 million people legal, tomorrow morning when we wake up, we still have 10,000 brand new illegal aliens who will now compete with the legal people who are entitled to minimum wage and all the other benefits of being legal, and we're right back where we started from. So I would maintain that this really, to me, in my opinion, is more of a show from the Bush administration that they're going to get serious about enforcement, because they're hoping that there might be time to come back with another amnesty proposal and say to the American people, look, we're doing what we asked, you asked us to, and now we want something back in return from you.
Let's go to the phones. We've got some people who are waiting to talk to us. We'll go first to Gerardo in Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Not too bad so far.
Great. I have a question for your guest and also a comment regarding the taxation and the fact that you, your guest suggested that the I'm an immigrant from Mexico. I'm a U.S. citizen right now. And people are in the misconception and they're misled on the information whether illegals do not pay taxes. However, I worked for many years with the social security number. Obviously, there was not match with a system. However, my taxes were always withdrawn from my paycheck. And I did not see anything in return. I mean, we are we're obligated to pay taxes. However, we do not get taxes back because of the match on the number. Do not the number doesn't match with the system. And what happens with those millions of dollars in taxes that do not get returned? I don't know if your client has a comment on that, and you know, I said, let's stop misleading the population on this issue that immigrants will make, pay taxes, because that's a big, big, big amount of money that, you know, the government keeps, and I don't know if she can comment on that, and I'll take my answer off the phone.
Thank you very much for the call.
I'd be happy to answer that. A very small portion of the illegal aliens in this country actually pay Social Security. The reports are less than 25%. Of those who do, they are, just as you said, they pay them under somebody else's Social Security number, which causes many times a huge problem for the people whose Social Security number is being used. I can't tell you the number of times that American citizens get a letter from the IRS that they made $40,000 this year down at the Swift plant in Cactus, Texas, for instance, because somebody was working under their identity. And so those taxes were paid, but now this person has to explain to the IRS why, how they weren't in Cactus, Texas and didn't earn that money. But the other problem with it is, even if they did, if they're using a Social Security number and they're not caught and they actually file an income tax return, we have more illegal aliens taking earned income credit and actually getting money back beyond what they've paid in. And the IRS has dozens of reports where they show that that's the case. So while there is a portion of the illegal, undocumented population who pay into Social Security and will never see any part of that, that number is still much lower than the ones who pay nothing at all.
We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll go back to the phones, and there will be a chance for you. You can call us at 800-642-1234 or 263-1890. If you don't get through on those, send us an email, talk@wpr.org. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8:25. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine this week. After 11 today, Larry Mueller and his guests talk about home renovation, repair, and salvaging building materials. Larry welcomes John Freiberger of Fitchburg and Robert Falk with the U.S. Forest Products Lab in Madison. That's after 11 this morning on the Ideas Network. Immigration is the topic this hour, and the guest that we have on the phone with us is Susan Tully, National Field Director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, also known as FAIR. And Susan, we have quite a few callers who are waiting to join, so let's go back to the phones, and we'll first talk with Jim in Green Bay. Jim, good morning.
Good morning to you and to your guest. I love this lady. I have a little different take on this immigration deal. I think it corrupts our system, and it devaluates my citizenship as an individual. It allows men into this country, predominantly men into this country, who have no concept of how we treat our women. And it's said that like 25 to 30% of the prison population now is illegal immigrants. And I think if they're going to allow these people in here, they should come go to some kind of anger management. And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
Well, there's definitely cultural differences anytime you bring foreigners in. I don't care where they've come from, and there's the clash in culture. It's in the, you know, I think what he's feeling is what I hear a lot because I work with activists from all over the country, and that is the Latin American culture is predominantly very different than that of American culture, and it would be similar, you know, I think in the Middle East where women don't have the same place in society. So you're always, and this is one of the problems with the fact that we have mass legal immigration into this country anyway. We have upwards of 2 to 3 million people who come here legally. We take in more legal immigrants than the whole rest of the world combined. So when you start having also on top of that, that many again or more who come here illegally from wherever they want to come, you're going to have start having a clash of culture with people who have different sets of values and different ways they look at things. And unfortunately, I have to say to your listening audience today that I think that we're coming to a peak in this country of both sides, both the illegal aliens marching in the streets who feel that they now have a right to make demands. It's kind of like the guy who let the neighbor use his property for years and never said anything and then tries to take it back. It's like, well, what are you talking about? I consider this mine. And that's kind of what we've done. We've looked the other way for so long on illegal immigration, and it wasn't in everybody's backyard, and now it is. And it's impacting our schools. It's impacting our hospitals. It's impacting the quality of life and what is available to American citizens. We're having to cut budgets back in order to make accommodations for an illegal population that's low-skilled, low-education, and needs help. And so you're starting to see the very emotional culture clashes that are coming out of that. And I think, quite honestly, this is something I've warned people about for a number of years, that we needed to take a hold of this issue and do something about it before we got to the point where people are taking to the streets and both sides are starting to talk about doing that. And so it's really a very explosive kind of situation that we're in right now, and it's time for the federal government to step up to the plate and do something.
And what should they do they've said they're going to start enforcing the laws. Now we can expect to have arrests. There have already been some arrests that have taken place. So we arrest people and send them back to wherever it was they came from. What about the children that they've had since they came here and who are now American citizens? Do they get separated from their families, or can we send them back with their parents?
No, we don't send them back. That's always, and I can tell you, I've been within law enforcement in Southern California. I was part of an INS raid, and it is always up to the parents whether the American citizen child goes with the parent or stays behind. The government does not make that decision for them, regardless as to what these people say. Now, the people who came here illegally knew they came here illegally. They run the risk of being sent back at any time. It's not unlike any parent who decides to go out and do something illegal, whether it's, you know, drug dealing or whatever. He runs the risk of being arrested and put in jail. That separates families too. I have little compassion for families being separated when parents have made a decision to break the law first and foremost. And so what they're doing now, the focus that the federal government is doing is called Operation Return to Sender, and it's simply they're really looking for the alien fugitives. These are people who have been ordered to hearings. Many of them have been deported before. They and some of them have committed crimes and need to be sent back. And they're really not focusing on at this point on the everyday illegal alien. What we need to do is focus on the employers. If we could dry up the jobs, if we could go after the employers who are actually committing the crimes right along with the illegal aliens by giving them a job, then the jobs would dry up and these people would self-deport. We don't have to send them home. It doesn't have to get ugly. They would simply go home because they can't find a job. And that's what needs to happen. And then we need to talk about what kind of a workforce we need. We need to secure the border. We need to do that for national security reasons. We need to make sure we know everyone who's in this country and why they're here. We need a tracking system that everybody else in the world has. We have it, but we don't use it. You know, we've just gotten really, really ridiculous as to how we deal with our immigration issue here.
Let's welcome Libby from Madison next. Libby, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. I am struggling to listen to this conversation. I'm trying to educate myself about all of the sides of this conversation and trying really hard not to be offended and let my personal offense stand in the way of hearing what I hope are educated comments. But I have to say, using the terms and the vernacular that this particular guest is using is very divisive, is very difficult to hear. And talking about people as illegal aliens and they and those, all that does is serve to further divide and separate, and it does nothing to bring us closer to a dialogue. The other thing I would like your guest to comment on is the national foreign policy and war policy that the United States has employed that has taken place in the countries of these immigrants that has essentially forced people to look outside of their homelands. And I will also say that out of all of the people I know who happen to be here without legal status, those folks, 100% of them that are working, are paying Social Security. So I would challenge and ask her to further clarify where it is she got the statistics that say only 25% of the people are paying Social Security. Because if, in fact, that's true, that's not the immigrant's problem. That's the problem of the employer who is choosing not to pay the Social Security.
Well, Libby, first of all, let me help you with your education by telling you when I use the term illegal alien, that is the legal term for someone who has come through this country without review. They aren't an immigrant. An immigrant, the legal definition of immigrant means someone who has chosen permanently to leave their homeland to go to another place and go through the legal process. So immigrant is a term that is only reserved for people who have gone through the legal process. Illegal alien is a legal term in the United States that is used for people who have come here illegally. If you find it offensive, I'm sorry about that, but as part of the education program and process, that is exactly what the people are. They're not undocumented workers. That's a nice way of saying people who have come here, who haven't taken the time, who haven't stood in line, who haven't gone through the process, who haven't had criminal background checks, not only in their origin home, but also where they're going. And we don't know who these people are, so they are, in fact, illegal aliens. And I can tell you that the IRS has done a number of studies. You can go on the IRS website. You can go in Pew Hispanic Report. You can go through Social Security Administration. There are dozens and dozens of reports out there that show how many of the illegal aliens working in this country actually pay into Social Security. And you are absolutely right. If it's not being paid, it's the employer who's at fault. But I want to point out again, that's exactly why employers want illegal labor in this country. They don't have to pay that additional 7.5%. It's the employer portion of that employee. And they don't have to pay workman's comp because they don't show them on the books. And so there's a huge advantage to employers who employ illegal aliens as contract workers without all of that legality. And you can see why they do it. It's obvious. And I think that, you know, as you educate yourself, you need to, again, look at who causes this problem. It's very difficult to blame a person from a poor country for wanting to come here and make a better life for themselves. It's very easy to blame a government who looks the other way and caters to big business and corporations for cheap labor and allows this to happen. I don't blame the illegal alien who comes into this country who wants to work. But what I am saying is I blame the employer who gives them the job, and I feel sorry for the American taxpayer who has to pick up the benefits package, if you will, because big business wants cheap labor. That's unfair as well when you see places like the state of California who have cut all of the music and the sports programs and everything that used to add to the entire school life of school children because they simply have to try to meet the educational needs of the masses who are allowed to come in there. That's not fair to anyone, and it's not good for anyone. And so I think that we have the right to regulate. We have the right to pick and choose who comes here, and this is exactly how we do it. We stomp on the employers, not the immigrant.
Let's take another call, and this time we'll go to Zach in Madison. Zach, you're up.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just have one comment, and you kind of were speaking to it, but I'm involved with the medical profession, and there's been documented cases of 13-year-olds traveling to Wisconsin by themselves, and how they got across the border and how they made the trip, God only knows, but could you imagine being a mother in a situation where you have to make the choice of, here's my 13-year-old daughter, and I either send her for whatever, you know, future she holds, making this dangerous trek on her own, or, you know, do I keep her in the current conditions that we have? So, and I think you spoke to that a little bit with not blaming any of the illegal aliens that do come into our country, but my question then is, what's the big deal if they're taking some of these big jobs? And I understand that the whole tax issue is a big deal, but let's just get it figured out. Let's get it worked out so that they could be, you know, if you want to call it amnesty or whatever, I certainly don't want to work in lawn care. I certainly don't want to work on a farm. There are plenty of these jobs that they're more than willing and more than happy to have, whereas many others probably wouldn't want. So thank you very much, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for the call, Zach.
Well, he gets into two very important aspects here. One is, you know, we have people we need in ag, and you're seeing the Congress talking about agriculture and ag bills. But I want to point out to people that only 400,000 illegal aliens employed in the United States are in the agriculture industry. And so when we talk about an amnesty for 12 to 20 million people, only 4,000 of those work in the areas of agriculture. And so what happens, people who come here as immigrants aren't any different than American workers. When they're legalized and they're allowed to move into other fields, they do. Everybody moves away from agriculture. It's seasonal. It's hard work, and who, if they can get a better job that's 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, isn't going to. And that's exactly what the 1986 amnesty did for us. They amnestied these what turned out to be 4 million people who they said were almost exclusively working in the ag field. And as soon as they did, they moved into manufacturing and other places because they were now legalized and they could go and compete for those other jobs. And so, you know, it's still not going to take care of the problem. We've always had Americans doing landscaping and working in the fields. We have family farms all over Wisconsin that are exclusively worked by Americans. We have also illegal aliens in Wisconsin who are working in the ag industries and other industries as well. So I won't say they're not here, but we know that Americans will do those jobs. We all always have. Now, when you talk about the child who travels here for medical care, again, who could blame this person? And I've been to the border. I've been with Border Patrol. I've been in the stations. I was there one day when a 7-year-old had traveled from El Salvador to be with her father, who was in this country. Her mother sent her with a group of people, and she traveled through the desert right along with everybody else. And I can't imagine, you know, doing that, first of all, to your child and how dangerous it is to send them with other people and not in your own care. That's, those are things that we don't even have to think about. But But I don't think that the United States is prepared either to take on everybody in the world who needs medical care. So, again, there's a process that we need to go through. And while we're very compassionate, we feel sorry for the circumstances of South and Central America. You know, people forget that many of these countries, Mexico, for instance, which the overwhelming majority of illegal aliens in this country have come from, Mexico is the 10th richest country in the world. It has oil, it has coffee, it has lots of resource, but it has the caste system where the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor. They keep them uneducated because they don't want them fighting back. They don't want a revolution. And they encourage them to come north and take jobs from the United States. Now, this isn't a foreign policy that you can blame the United States for. This is a problem that you have in Mexico and much of South and Central America. And this is an attitude that people are dispensable. And I think you see that, you know, a lot in governments that are corrupt and work under a system like this. How do we, as citizens of the United States, taxpayers of the United States, how could we possibly take care of all of those people? It's impossible, and it's unfair. And to think that we could simply just bring them all here, all those who want and need to come, is absurd. The United States is now growing at a faster rate in population than China, and it is our mass migration rate that's driving it. It is not the birth rate. And for all of the environmentalists and the people out there who think, you know, that we need to think green, and I'm one of them, you need to stop and think about what this mass population in the United States and how it's taking us further away from that goal, not closer.
Let's take a call quickly from Kay in Milwaukee. Kay, good morning.
Good morning. I was just wondering whether the guest believes that U.S. foreign policy has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that all of these people are trying to come here. Didn't NAFTA change the Mexican Constitution with the result of throwing hundreds of thousands of people off their land? And didn't the corn subsidies, like, flood their markets with cheap corn? Isn't that related to all of this?
I think NAFTA has been devastating for everyone, and everyone that's participated in it, including the United States. And I think these trade agreements are horrible. And it's also part of the problem that we're facing here. How does a farmer in Wisconsin grow corn, and it's going to cost him more to do that than it is some farmer in South America who can grow it, put it on a barge, and ship it up here? These are trade agreements that have done this, and I would agree completely that these trade agreements have been a sellout for everyone. Absolutely everyone.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll go back to the phones and take some more calls as people want to join in on this issue. It's always one that produces a lot of discussion, and we really enjoy hearing from you, so keep calling 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. There's there was a line open. There will be one shortly. 263-1890 if you are in Madison. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8:43. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Paper or plastic? After 5, Ben Marins and his guest explore the history and life cycles of packaging materials and look at the many ways packaged goods shape our culture. That's after 5 o'clock today on At Issue with Ben Marins here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. In this hour, we're talking about the coming crackdown on employers who hire illegal immigrants or people who don't have proper documentation. And our guest is Susan Tully, National Field Director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, known as FAIR. Well, one industry that has benefited from the presence of so many illegal workers in the United States is the illegal documents industry. There seems to be some real growth in producing fake documents, and it's predicted that with this crackdown, there'll be even more growth in that industry.
You know, I agree with you, but I'm actually scared of the next step, which is not only is it going to increase in, you know, because the problem is that they're going after the no-match letters. But then after that, I mean, if they continued the enforcement effort, they'll be going in, and everybody should be in the employment verification system. And that's a free system open to every employer that they can instantly match the name with the Social Security number. What we're seeing, and I just spent a week down in Texas, and I could spend a whole another week talking to your listeners about what happened in one, what's happening in one little town down there where there's a meatpacking plant, is identity theft. It's very serious, it's very real, and it's very frightening. And what is happening is the next step past this no match letter is the fact that people will be buying and purchasing for a lot more money real identity and possibly your identity with your name and your Social Security number, because then there will not be a no match. And until the IRS comes after the person who is earning this money under, you know, that name, the real person, and notifies them that they've been earning money somewhere else in the country, you're not going to know that your identity has been sold. And it won't be sold once. It will be sold multiple times. And that's exactly what's happening already. So I think that's the next step, and it's happening. And that is going to be clearly the path that people who are desperate to stay here will take, is to buy a legitimate identity for $1,400 to $2,000 to $3,000.
Let's go next to Art in Wrightstown. Art, good morning.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Good morning. I was just listening. My original point was something that linked to what your guest was just talking about, was, but the identity theft issue, I know, is going to be huge, and I know that it has happened in plants. They've already discovered it many, many times over, and people really ought to think about what's going to happen with their own Social Security, which is already, you know, on the ropes as it stands now. One of the things, however, that your guest brought up earlier is just the treatment of the treaties and the various treaties and how disastrous that they have been. And it's so unfortunate because, of course, you know, the intentions almost never match the results when it comes to these kinds of things. But it's very predictable. We have to, as a nation, we have to quit feeling about this sort of thing, and we really have to start thinking it through, and we have to really understand what the consequences are for us as a country. And in particular, there's a meeting that's going to take place in Quebec on the 20th of this month, which involves a lot of internationalists, President Bush among them, along with President Calderon and the Prime Minister of Canada. And it's going to be discussing the construction of a superhighway, which is going to link Mexico with Canada and will, in effect, make Kansas City an international port. They're really looking, that's kind of the stepping stone or the camel's nose under the tent to abolish, ultimately, the borders and make North America just one great big country, but probably with no one asked to assimilate into anyone's culture. Anyway, I wanted to know what your guests' feelings were or thoughts were about the about that treaty in Canada, for one, and anything else you'd like to comment on.
Well, I'm very familiar with what you're talking about, and actually this facility in Kansas City that you're talking about is called SmartPort. It would actually be the sovereign territory of Mexico. It would be a custom facility for Mexico, owned by Mexico, right here in the middle of the heartland of America. And when we're talking about this immigration policy, and it becomes very emotional because people are talking about people and individuals, and yes, we have compassion and feeling for them, but what the American public fails to understand is this open-door policy that we've had in this country and this failure to enforce the people who benefit first and foremost by illegal immigration, the employers, are the ones who are dictating this policy. These trade agreements have been constructed and sold as a good thing for everybody and have resulted in nothing but more profits for big business and corporations. And what this gentleman's talking about is the initiation of what they're calling, to begin with, the North American Union, and hopefully through trade agreements will ultimately result in the free trade agreement of the Americas, which would include, of course, all of America, Central and South America, and we would be then, of course, bigger than the EU, which is what the corporate powers and the globalists who want to move away from from sovereignty and into, I mean, simply we're all being reduced to an economical unit. And that's what's at the bottom of this. That's what's driving this. And I encourage Libby, the person who called in who was very upset and wants to educate herself, please go to spp.gov, read through those papers, read through the FTAA, which is the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas. It's in its third or fourth draft now. What is being proposed? What is being said? The bottom line is the globalists and the big corporations want the ability to move wherever they need to go without tariffs. They want to be able to use the people wherever they're from for cheap labor. They want to be able to take the product that they produce in its cheapest form and sell it back to the consumers, whoever they are, whether that's China or the U.S. And I am saying that this whole policy has gotten to the point where people are expendable, and if you're not a producer or you're not a consumer, you are unimportant to the globalists who are proposing these plans. And if you want to move away from any kind of country that we have existed as, then you need to get involved in this issue. You need to look at it for what it is. It is not simply about people. It is people who are being used in order to accomplish goals of corporate America and multinational corporations who want to control everything. And that's exactly what's driving this.
Of course, if nobody is making any decent wages, who will be left to buy the products that these companies are producing?
Well, that's a good question. And I've looked at Africa for a long time, and you see the egregious, horrendous things that happen over there, and basically nobody seems to care. But when I look at those people and you see what has happened to them, you have to say to yourself, well, this is what happened when a nation is not either a producer or a consumer. The whole rest of the world becomes, we've all allowed the economy to be the overwhelming driving force of this country and what we hold on as a value, not the people. And when you do that, then your only value to people who look at money is either as a consumer or a producer. So we should be frightened, first of all, that we're moving away from the manufacturing industry and we're selling it out to China. And we should be frightened about the fact that because we've been flooded with just masses of people who are uneducated and at entry skill labor, that we won't even be a consumer. We won't be able to compete as consumers any longer either. This is all about money. This is all about corporate power. This is all about globalism for those who will prosper, and they don't care, honestly, about the rest of us. And so I really think that we have to educate ourselves on this issue and why it has been allowed to happen.
Let's take a call from Mike in Appleton. Mike, good morning.
Boy, that last comment is frightening. I would suggest to your guests the following, because, you know, I agree with their position. When you're trying to get this idea across to the American public, I think you really have to break it down into, like small pieces in the following sense. There's a lot of talk about, you know, jobs that Americans won't do. Why don't you pick one specific company, let's say that Swift Corporation, that Meatpacking Corporation. They had illegal aliens working there. They took them out, and as far as I know, Swift hasn't foundered. In other words, get it down to the nuts and bolts. What did that mean? What jobs were lost? What jobs were recuperated? That sort of example. Talk about education and healthcare. Why don't you talk about, let's say, pick one specific town, you know, anywhere USA, but this is actually what it costs in dollars and cents. I think if you put it that way, people will have a better understanding of what you're talking about.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's something that I can do tonight I'm going up to Minneapolis and I'm speaking to a group of people to educate them and take them through the process. People do not understand when they simply talk about immigration how encompassing this is and how, you know, in the last presidential elections, you could not get a candidate to talk about immigration. They tried like heck to stay away from it, and yet it impacted all the things they were talking about. It impacts Social Security, health care, education, you know, the war on interior. Go right down the list. Immigration is interwoven in each and every one of those. It's very difficult in, you know, 40 minutes or 50 minutes to take someone who has relatively no education on immigration, its impacts in the United States, and get them to the point that, say, for instance, that I have when I've been working on this issue for 20 years. And you know, it's so you do need to take it in little bites. And I'd be happy at any time to focus on one of those areas. I think the SWIFT raids has, you know, I went to Cactus, Texas 2 weeks ago. I spent a week down there. And it is clear, Cactus, Texas is in Nowhere, USA. Most people don't even know where it is. I certainly didn't. It's 50 miles from Amarillo, Texas. And this town solely exists for providing a place for people to live so they can work at the SWIFT plant. There's nothing else there. It is the poorest housing conditions I've ever seen in the United States. And there is drug trafficking, prostitution. The town is being run by a mayor who was a 1986 amnesty recipient. He's tied to the drug cartels. He's been tied to you know, every kind of illegal activity in the world. I spent 2 days interviewing the police department down there about what goes on in this little town that nobody knows about and nobody cares about. It is a mini Mexico corrupt town, again, where these people live and they're housed as human cattle, simply for the purpose of providing labor to SWIFT. And now the SWIFT plants, all of them, have been sold to a Brazilian company. So my next prediction is that the Brazilian company will be telling its people in Brazil all they simply have to do is get to the United States and they'll have a job. And so now we have foreign companies being bought up by people who will then probably staff them with people from their homeland. And the corruption will continue and get worse. It is unbelievable. And when we get into these discussions, we can only, you know, reach the tip of the iceberg. It would take hours to get into how bad this really is. I can just tell your listeners this, that when you allow illegal immigration unchecked and you don't enforce it, along with it comes the ugly living conditions that I'm talking about in Cactus, Texas, along with it comes human smuggling, prostitution, sex slaves, drug trafficking. You cannot take just the people as illegal, undocumented workers and not understand that there's a whole undercurrent of criminal activity that goes right along with this because they continue to flow unchecked just like everyone else.
Susan Tully, we've got about 30 seconds left to wrap this up. The crackdown is coming. Make a real quick prediction as to what's going to happen after that.
Well, I believe that they are still going to continue to focus mostly on the people who have avoided detention hearings and being deported, people who need to go. And I think this is a show by the Bush administration. They're trying to quickly say, look, see, we're going to do it, and now we want something in return. I don't believe that this is a policy that's going to sustain or continue. Unfortunately, I think it's one that does need to continue because I don't think we get rid of this problem until we actually address it.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's been an interesting hour.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Susan Tully is the National Field Director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, also known as FAIR. Karen Prager produced this program, and Martinez White did a great job with on-air production. Leo Duran also helped out with some technical work there. The radio store is the place to go if you'd like a copy of this hour. 800-747-7444 is the number to call. Ask for program 88C, as in Cactus. I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network.